All right, guys, man, great to be back with you this week and jump into this new series, Unstoppable. We're talking about the kingdom of God in the book of Acts. Kevin did a great job last week. He's over here kicking off that series and just talking about the original DNA of the church, right? That they were devoted to the teaching, to prayer, to the Lord's Supper, to fellowship with one another. And this morning, we're going to pick up where you guys left off. So if you have your Bibles, guys, we're in Acts chapter 3. Book of Acts chapter 3, we'll be in chapter 3 and chapter 4. I'm also going to ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, it's okay. We have a digital version, but we do want you to take notes this morning. We think it matters. It has a lasting impact on us. We can go home and think about what we studied. We give you questions every week so you can talk about it with the people that you came to church with. We think it has a powerful, powerful impact in the lives of believers. So we're going to ask you to do those things. We're also going to ask you to pray. Do something a little different this morning. I was listening to podcasts, another church. I was like, dude, I love that. So we're committed. We want to be a house of prayer. And so this morning, I'm going to ask right where you are right now, would you just bow your head and where you are? I want you to take a minute, and first, I want you to pray for yourself. Just pray, simple prayer, just pray, God, speak to me. Would you do that right now? Just God, speak to me. I want you to take a minute. I want you to pray for those around you. Pray, God, would you speak to them? And finally, if I could be bold enough, I'm going to ask that you would take a moment and you would pray for me. That you would pray that God would speak through me. Jesus be glorified today in all that we think and say and do. Holy Spirit, invite you to come and fill this pulpit. You are the teacher of this church. Lift up Jesus that we might see him clearly. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So guys, the book of Acts, some have called it the Acts of the Apostles. I prefer another title that some have mentioned, which is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. I think that's probably more accurate because that's what's changed, right? I mean, that stuff that Kevin talked about last week, that devotion, where does that come from? Well, because now the Spirit of God is living inside of them, right? I mean, listen, this is Old Testament. Hearts of stone have been removed, and we've been given hearts of flesh that now want to live out the decrees of God. This is a work of God in his people. And it creates this unstoppable movement of the kingdom. And kind of what Kevin was talking about last, we got to figure out what separates those guys from us today. We've got to recapture some of that. And so this morning, we're just going to continue talking about those things and talking about the Spirit's movement upon these early believers. So this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, got a lot of reading to do. I'm going to start in verse 1, and here's what the Word of God says. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple for a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, we just talked about them being a devoted people, right? Being devoted to prayer. So that included the apostles. The apostles are going to pray. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, look at us. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. And at once his feet and his ankles became strong. So he jumped up and he started to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God. And they recognized that he was the one that used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. Now that leads to Peter preaching his second sermon. And here it is, starting in verse 11. It says, while he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, they ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead, and we are witnesses of this by faith in his name. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of you all. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders also did in this way. God was fulfilling what he had predicted through all of the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, he's telling them what to do. Therefore, repent and turn back, so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Man. Now that leads to the priests and the Sadducees, temple police getting pretty upset with Peter and John, so much so that they're going to arrest them, they're going to hold them captive overnight. But guess what? Doesn't matter. Look at Acts 4:4 on the screen. Doesn't matter that they arrest him, but many of those, it says in Acts 4:4, who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. That's another couple thousand people. Of course, it didn't include women in the count. Hello. So the next day, so they jail him. The next day, they bring him forth and gave him. Listen, by what power are you doing this? In whose name have you done this? And they respond, Acts 4:10 and 11. Let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. And then mic drop, verse 12, there's salvation in no one else. You could add to that, there's salvation in nothing else. Not religion, not a class, like it only in the name of Jesus is what they're saying, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which they must be saved. And it says when they see their boldness, they're taken back. Because they realize these are uneducated, unschooled, ordinary men, and they take note, they realize that they had been with Jesus. They're teaching with his kind of authority, and they couldn't deny the fact that this man had been healed. He's standing in front of them. So listen, they let them go, but they threaten them. Here's the threat. Ready? Stop it! I mean it. Stop it, or else. Stop it. And there's some threat behind it. They killed Jesus after all. And here's their response again. Peter and John answered them, Acts 4:19 through 20, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we're unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. I got three things that I want to share with you, but first I want to tell you the theme of the morning, and this is the theme. Ready? The Holy Spirit turns ordinary people into unstoppable witnesses. The Holy Spirit turns ordinary people into unstoppable witnesses. With that in mind, three things I want to share. Here's the first. I want you to know that Spirit-filled people move past what they don't have, and they share freely who they do. Jesus. Right? Spirit-filled people have a habit of moving past, moving beyond what they lack, what they don't have, and instead they share who they do, which is Jesus. This is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, one of my favorite stories in this book. Man, I love it. So Peter and John, they're devoted to prayer. They're going to the temple to pray. And when they get outside the temple, the gate beautiful, there's a man sitting there. And Luke tells us this man was born lame. He's never walked. And he's placed there to beg for money. And so he asks them for money. This is where the conversation starts. And then Peter does something remarkable. He doesn't just brush past him in his busyness. He doesn't ignore him, but the Bible says he looks right at him. He actually says to him, look at me, right? And then he's going to say something. He's going to say in verse 6, listen, I don't have silver or gold. That was the ask. Can I have some money? And Peter says, I don't have money. Right? I don't have it. But what I do have, I give you freely in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And at that moment, this man's feet, his ankles and feet become strong. Yo, this is nuts. Right? Think about us. This is all super. Natural people, we learn how to walk in stages, and we crawl a little bit, and then we pull ourselves up, and then we wobble, and muscles have to get strong, and we've got to figure out patterns. Nope. This dude, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. It becomes strong. He jumps to his feet and begins jumping and dancing and praising God. He's going in the temple. Everybody's like, what is up? Like from not step one, he went from 0 to 10. This is the power of Jesus on display. It's a powerful moment. But listen to me, I believe wholeheartedly it happens because two spirit-filled men see him and respond to him. So how do you know they're full? Like Paul would talk about this later, right? He talks about keeping in step with the Spirit of God. So how do you know that they're being led by the Spirit, that they're full of the Spirit? Ready? I know because they didn't blow it. They didn't miss it. This is a divine appointment that God has placed to expand his kingdom. And guess what? Peter doesn't blow through it. And y'all, Peter is capable of such things. Right? Peter is capable of blowing through it. But he doesn't. He sees it. And here's just what I want to say to you. Peter does something remarkable, but I think we need to learn from. This man asks for something that Peter lacks. Now, if Peter were like so many of us when we're operating out of our flesh, when we're faced with opportunities, he would have stopped with, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. He would have camped out on what he lacked. But this isn't the old Peter, my friends. This is Peter full of the Spirit of God. Jesus now not just with him, but living in him. And this Peter is a changed man. And this changed man doesn't stop at what he lacks, at what he doesn't have. He goes on and he offers what he does have. Now, I just, in my life and in your life, the Lord wants to do similar things. He puts people in our path on purpose. And I fear that some of us are not keeping in step with the Spirit. So our response does not sound like the second half of Peter, but just the first. Tell me if this reminds you of anyone when faced with an opportunity, presented with an opportunity, we often say to ourselves or to others, well, I just don't have enough knowledge to help them. Well, I don't have enough spiritual giftedness in that area. I don't have that kind of boldness. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough of the right words. I don't have all my stuff together yet. How can I help someone else? But Spirit-filled men and women do not camp out in what they lack. They don't focus on what they don't have. They focus on who they do. And so Peter looks at this man, and I think that conversation is kind of like Peter singing, hey, brother, listen, I, Peter, in the flesh, I, Peter, do not have what you need, but I know someone who. See, that man was asking for money, but money wasn't really what he needed. He needed so much more. Peter realized, I don't have what it takes to bring about change in this man's life, but I know who does. In the name of Jesus, brother, let's address the bigger thing. Get up and walk. Man, it's a powerful moment. It's a powerful moment. So that's the first thing I want you to see. Guys, Spirit-filled people, we don't focus on what we don't have, but we focus on who we do, which is Jesus. Peter offered him the Jesus that Peter now had living inside of him. It's powerful. Second thing I want to share with you is that Spirit-formed transformation creates opportunities for Spirit-filled testimony. Spirit-formed transformation presents opportunities for Spirit-filled testimony. You probably heard me say this before because I use it pretty often. Genuine change is attractive. Genuine change is attractive. When we walk through the Jesus story and we talked about Lazarus, I mentioned this specific point. Genuine change is attractive. The Bible says that they actually plotted to kill Lazarus. So many people were coming to Jesus because of Lazarus, because Lazarus was dead and now he was alive. And they were so attracted at this resurrection of Lazarus that they didn't just plot to kill Jesus, they also plotted to kill Lazarus, because genuine change is attractive. People were flocking. Listen, this man is healed. This man, y'all, he is changed. He was born lame, unable to walk, and now this brother is jumping up and down praising God. Now, he was unclean. He was on the outside of the temple, had never been in. Now he is boldly walking in to the presence of God, and not just walking in, guys. He is dancing and jumping and praying. I think he's shooting to be the worship leader at the temple, you know? I mean, he is like, let's go. Everybody else is thinking, wow, what's wrong with that guy? And he's like, whoa, let's go. I mean, just, and they're like, well, calm down, brother. Calm down. We're not that kind of church. Okay? But he's changed. And look at how the people respond to this genuine change in his life. Acts 3, 10 and 11, they recognize that this was the man that used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate. So get this. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. While he's holding on to Peter and John, all the people, they're utterly astonished. So they ran toward them. They ran. And they wanted to know more. Everyone is instantly attracted to this man. And so what does Peter do? Filled with the Holy Spirit, he explains the change. He uses it as an opportunity to testify about who really deserves the honor and the glory and the change. You guys following me? He says, listen, this is Jesus that did this. Y'all, every way that the Lord has formed you and changed you and made you new is meant to be an opportunity, not for you to stick out your chest and say, I made it, but it's meant to be an opportunity for you to tell others who really did it. Right? Let me tell you, it wasn't me. It was Jesus in me. It was Jesus for me. It was by grace, brother. I didn't deserve it. Every Spirit-formed transformation creates an opportunity for Spirit-filled testimony. Last thing. I want you to know that Spirit-empowered boldness comes from being with Jesus, and it refuses to be silenced by opposition. Spirit-empowered boldness comes from being with Jesus, and it refuses to be silenced by opposition. So this last thing I'm going to highlight today is, this boldness of Peter and John, where does it come from? Where does it come from? Well, guess what? The religious rulers figured it out. They figured out where the boldness came from. It didn't come from a book or a conference or a class. Acts 4:13, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, they realized they were uneducated, untrained, ordinary men, and they were amazed. And get this, the religious rulers recognized that they had been with Jesus. Their boldness didn't come from a class or a book or a conference. It came from being with the Lord. Listen to me, Peter is not reciting doctrine from a classroom. Peter is boldly preaching from his own personal firsthand experience with the Lord. See, Peter remembers empty nets that were miraculously filled. He remembers blind men that received their sight. He remembers thousands with growling stomachs being filled by just a sack lunch. Peter remembers what it's like to walk on the waves. See, this isn't a second-hand faith for Peter anymore. It's not a second-hand story. No, this version of Peter has seen the nail-scarred hands and feet and has received the invitation of the Lord to be restored and to feed his sheep. This isn't a second-hand story anymore. This is a man that has seen it himself. And that's what the religious leaders realized, was like, whoa, they've been with Jesus. You guys follow me? They've been, this dude has walked through some stuff with the Lord. He's been with Jesus. Church, that's the answer. I love you, but if you lack the boldness to live out the Great Commission, either part of it, by the way, the commission, you got to fulfill both halves to like actually fulfill it. So that's evangelism and discipleship. If you find yourself lacking boldness to live out the Great Commission, the problem is most likely not a lack of information or a lack of training. It usually stems from a lack of desire, commitment, or confidence that is caused from not spending enough time in prayer or in the Word. When we find ourselves in those places where we lack the boldness to be who God has created us to be, it usually stems from this simple truth: we're not spending enough time with the Lord. So this week, I want to challenge you to do that. I want to challenge you to try that. I want to challenge you this week. I've got a friend here from volleyball, and when our girls would play, listen, sometimes we'd be down a little bit, you know, and we need to make a little run. And so Keith and I would shout out, give me five, right? And we wanted five serves right there. Give me five serves. We're going to be back in it. Give me five. And when they hit the first one, we go, give me four. Give me three. And we just work through it until we're back in charge. Here we go. So I want you to give me five. Give me 5 days this week where every day you pray, where every day you get in the Scriptures, 5 days this week. You don't already have a study, just start in John 1. 5 days where you seek the Lord's faith. Pray the same prayer we prayed earlier. God, speak to me. And just see what the Lord does, okay? So their boldness came from being with the Lord. But I do want you to see this. That boldness didn't necessarily lead to what the world would call blessing, right? So they're bold and they get arrested, right? And so how did they respond to that? Like, how did the early church respond to kind of persecution and to tough moments? Here it is, Acts 4, 29 through 30. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When faced with opposition, the early church doesn't pray, Lord, please remove the opposition. They don't pray, Lord, please remove me from the opposition. They don't pray, Lord, keep us safe. When faced with opposition, they pray, God, give us all the boldness now. Make us even more bold for your name's sake. All right. What do we do with that? I want to honor some seniors. So here we go. Three things super quick. Number one, I want to challenge you to put your faith in Jesus today. Put your faith in Jesus today, okay? If you're here and you've never done that, I want you to know we've got some ways to do it. We got a lot of stuff going on at the end of service. But if you just want to talk to somebody about what that means, you can text the word Jesus to the number on the screen. Super easy. I think I've got that slide in there. There we go. Text the word Jesus to that number. And listen, all we're going to do is follow up with you. We'll talk about it, not in this space. But listen, some of you walk through the doors and you feel like that man. You feel like you've been spiritually crippled. This guy was born that way. You've always felt far away from God. You've never felt like you were good enough. This dude, he always was an outsider. He never went to church. Like, he always felt far away. And maybe that's you, that you've always felt like, man, I'm not good enough. Man, I'm broken. Something is wrong with me. Listen to me. How did Peter respond? Did he avoid that dude? Did he be like, oh, nope. No, man. He says, look at me. Look at me. I don't have something for you, but God does. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be made well. It's complete restoration. He gets to now go into the temple. He gets to now experience worship firsthand. Like, it's powerful. God wants to do the same thing with you. And so I would start there this morning. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, listen, the story of the Bible is pretty simple. God loves you. He made you to be with him. We rejected his rules. And because we rejected his rules, we no longer looked like him. Though we were made in his image, we didn't carry on that image. And God can't have anything that's not perfect in his presence. So all mankind was cast out of his presence. And we were destined to die that way. But God loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't. He died the death that we deserve on the cross. That's why you see crosses still hung up in churches all over the world today. But you notice Jesus isn't on that cross because he didn't stay dead. They buried him and he rose again. He conquered death just like he said he would. Over a period of 40 days, he appeared to show people it was real. Then before their very eyes, he ascended into heaven so that he could send the Holy Spirit. And when we ask Jesus to come into our lives and to forgive us of our sin, the Holy Spirit comes and makes us his home. And we are restored to God. That's what God wants to do with you today. It can happen. Second thing, I want to challenge you this week to spend time with Jesus until your faith becomes personal. Spend time with Jesus until your faith becomes personal. That's what it was for Peter. Peter's boldness didn't come from a class, from you know, like it wasn't off borrowed faith. It wasn't off of sermons necessarily, or podcasts, or Instagram, TikTok reels. It wasn't just what his parents believed. Peter's boldness came from being with the Lord. And if you lack boldness, that's where you need to look. You need to be with the Lord. You personally spending time praying, God, speak to me. You got to walk with him. Last thing, man, don't let opposition silence your testimony. Some of you have. You tried it. You tried to be that witness. It didn't go so well. It done. It just shut down. No. That's not how the early church responded. They didn't shrink back in the face of opposition. Man, it ignited them. It ignited them, okay? I want to challenge you to let that ignite your faith as well. I'm going to pray with you if you don't mind, where you are, if you don't mind bowing your heads for a moment. If you're here this morning and you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, or if you're a Christian that you know you've been struggling and man, you just got to get back on track. I want to pray for both groups this morning. If you bow your heads, if you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your life, we pray a very simple prayer here. We're going to pray it out loud. If that's you, you can just respond. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise a hand this morning, but if you just pray from your heart, dear God, come into my life and make me yours. Forgive me of my sin and make me your home. Teach me how to live for you. Amen. For the Christian.